I have nothing. And so he goes and he asks. And so his friend gives him the bread for his friend. And he said, how much more shall the Holy Spirit not give to them that ask him? And he said, so what you need to do is you need to say, Lord, I have a friend and I don't have anything for him. Would you give me your Spirit so he can answer what he needs? And when he preached that years ago in Seattle, I was up there and I never thought too much about it. But throughout the years, that has grown. And I often pray, I say, Lord, I have a friend, and he has a need, and I don't have it. Would you give it to me so I can give it to him? And so I text him this morning, you taught me that we sow a seed, and we don't know, maybe for a year or two or more if something happens. And I said, when you preached this sermon years ago, I didn't think much about it that day, but it's grown and grown and grown. And so praise the Lord for that. Well, tonight, Luke chapter 11, I'm going to teach on prayer, Luke chapter 11, and the Bible says here, and it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. That's what I think about when I think about my son Noah. Dad, I can always hear Noah's knock on my door. It just sounds more incessant than anything else, right? Dad. And how many times, just because of his insistence, I give him what he needs? And not because he's my son. But the contrast here is, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If you ask God for bread, you know, people say, I'm scared to pray, because I don't know how God's going to answer that. Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? Or he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? You know, the Lord does have a sense of humor, doesn't he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Lord, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word and what we're about to study. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn to pray. Lord, would you teach us to pray? And help us to understand the things that you were saying here. And teach us to pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus was praying. And when he was finished praying, his disciples said, "Could you teach us to pray?" Now, these men were accustomed to praying their whole life. They knew how to pray. They knew what prayer was. They grew up praying. And Jesus' habit and pattern was to pray. And, you know, so they see him praying, and they decided that they didn't know anything about prayer. They said there's something different about the way he prays. You know, the Bible says that the Pharisees pray so that they could be seen of men. So what they're doing is they're talking to God, but they're really not talking to God, they're manipulating men. So it's like the salesman that says, "Oh, I got to call my boss, and you know, he said he could come down 10%. He didn't even pick up the phone." It's a manipulation, right? And they were used to praying these prayers that sounded good, but there was something different about the way Jesus prayed. Now, if Jesus was God in the flesh, and he had a custom and a pattern and a place of prayer, how much more do we need to pray? How much more do we need to pray? And prayer was intentional in his life. It was prioritized, and it didn't happen by accident. And he modeled a disciplined life of prayer. And, you know, moments of spiritual hunger often arise out of watching someone who is already walking with God. Okay? Sometimes the way that you inspire your family, you inspire those around you to get good things from God is they're inspired by a person that is walking with God, and they recognize that he has a connection with God that other people or they don't have. And that's what inspired them to do this. Your life will often teach others more than your public words will. It has to match there. And so this is there. So the word prayer in the Bible, I'm just going to put this up here just for... if you put this slide up here, these are the words in the Old Testament that prayer comes from. So it means to intercede, to judge, to intervene. That's a general word for prayer. That's translated prayer sometimes, and sometimes it's translated these other things. The other one is to entreat or plead earnestly. The other one is to call, to proclaim, to cry out. And the other one is a prayer or a supplication or a request. Okay, now here's the ones in the New Testament that are translated prayer. And the first one, over 80 times, it means to pray to God. It's a general term. The other one is an urgent request or supplication. The other one is an intercession. And the other one is a petition or a request. And those definitions kind of encompass what the Bible says when it means to pray. So he says here, "It came to pass while he was praying, his disciples said, 'Lord, teach us to pray,' as John taught his disciples." So prayer begins with God. "Lord, teach us to pray." So they prayed before, but not like this. And so they were saying to the Lord, "Tell us your design. Tell us what's different about your prayer. Can you teach us how to pray like you do? I don't know. Would you tell me?" And so if you're ever going to have a good prayer life, it has to come from a posture of humility and say, "God, would you show me?" You know, the Bible says God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. And I hope that we're paying attention tonight, because prayer is one of the most neglected things in the Christian life. And that is why there's so many Christian lives that are powerless. And they have no power in them, and they don't overcome. And so let's look at the first mention of not the word prayer, but a prayer in the Bible. Look at Genesis 4 and verse 26. Genesis 4, and we're going to kind of understand why God designed prayer. And then we'll look at the, you know, some people say, this is why I have a hard time praying, but that's the way, the reason they think it is, but it's not the actual reason. And so we'll look at that too. Genesis chapter 4, in verse 6, and the Bible says here, now Genesis 4 and verse 26, excuse me. And so Genesis 4, if you'll see here, this is the line of Cain. Okay? And then it switches here in verse 26. It says verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. Now Seth is the replacement for Abel. And that is the seed that Noah came through. Methuselah and Enoch and the spiritual people came through Seth. Okay? And to him, in verse 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then look what it says. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Seth was the replacement for Abel. Abel was the one that depended on God. And then men, and you know what Enos means? It means frail, a weak man. So in a very dark time, they began to call upon the Lord. So prayer begins in a broken world. Now, I'm sure there's other prayers. Adam talked to God. People before him talked to God. Okay? But this is the first recorded public act of worship or prayer, if you will. It says, then began men to call upon the Lord. And Seth represented a new line of hope and righteousness. And they recognized, what did they recognize? They recognized their dependence and they recognized their mortality and they began to call upon the Lord. Okay, so the first time here. Now, look here. I want you to see the difference. This is what began the difference between Seth's descendants and Cain's descendants. Okay, look at verse 16 in chapter 4. And it says this, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. He went to sleep. Well, I don't know if that was it is. On the east of Jordan, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare a son, and he began to call upon the Lord. No. So he goes away from God, and when he has a child, instead of calling upon the Lord, he built a city. And Enoch was born, and all these people were born, and then Lamech took two wives. And then verse 20, Adah bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and have cattle. Verse 21, his brother's name was Jubal, he was the father of such as handled the harp and the organ. Wonder where he learned that from. And Zillah, she bare Tubal-Cain, instructor of every artificer of brass. Okay? In verse 23, Laman said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hearken unto my voice. You wives of Lachman, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man unto my wounding, a young man to my hurt. Do you see that? There was all kinds of things they did. They builded, they learned, they played music. But what is missing? They didn't recognize their frailty, their dependence on God, and began to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's what made the difference. And if you read Genesis chapter 5, you go down there, you have Enoch. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. And then you have Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Okay? So, That's the thing there. So true prayer, it's born out of need and under dependence on God. Okay? He's nigh unto all of them that call upon Him in truth. Let me ask you this. Do you recognize your frailty and your dependence on God? Or do you believe that you're self-sufficient? Because Cain, they thought they were self-sufficient. They didn't need God. They're just doing things in their own strength. Your strength eventually runs out. So now what is the purpose of prayer? And I want you to think about this. So when God saved you, your position in heaven was secure. Okay? But there's still in our flesh and our nature, there's still this remaining sin that has to be dealt with through that process of sanctification. Okay? And the primary tool that God uses to shape you into His image is His Word. Okay? But another primary tool that the Lord uses in conjunction with His Word is prayer. And you have to have both of them. And if you are not being shaped right now into the image of the Lord, or you're stagnant in there, I can guarantee you there's two things missing. There's a biblical way of reading the Bible and saying, like, what does God want to change in me through this passage? And there's a biblical lack of prayer, a lack of biblical prayer, or how the Lord modeled it here. Okay? So prayer is one of the methods that God uses, and the purpose is to transform you into His image, His sanctification. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and we'll go there, then we'll go to Psalm 5, and then we'll go to Romans chapter 8. So Psalm 139, one of my favorite psalms too. Man, what a great passage. If you don't know what God thinks about you and His thoughts towards you, you should meditate on Psalm 139. So look at what He says here in verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. God knows you better than you know yourself. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path, and my lying down are acquainted with all my ways. And I love this. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. You know, I don't even know the reason I say some of the things I say, and you don't either. But God knows it altogether. Where it came from, where it's going, He knows everything about it. Sometimes I'll read words that I don't understand. I'll say, you understand. You know? But the Lord, He knows. And so then look what He says in verse 23 after acknowledging that. Search me, O God, and know my heart. You know what prayer does? It exposes the heart. Search me. God, what is the reason I'm angry at them? God, what is the reason that I'm drawn to this? God, what is the reason that I'm troubled? God, what is the reason that I'm bored with the things of God? Search me and know my heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And know my thoughts. Why am I thinking this way? And look what He says. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, an immature way to approach life is, I don't see anything wrong with it. A fool's heart is in his left hand, and a wise man's heart is in his right hand. This is a condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But every man that doeth righteous cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest. They are wrought in God. And they say, God, this is what I'm doing. Is it okay? Would you shine your light on it? Would you search it? Would you search these thoughts? Would you search my heart and see God? Prayer exposes the heart. And you should pray about all of those things that trouble you, that bother you. You should pray about those things that you're drawn to. Look at Psalm 5. And then we'll go to Romans 8. Psalm 5. And I love this verse. Look at verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. You know when you're thinking and you don't even know what you're thinking about, but you're just ruminating? He said, God, would you consider what I'm meditating about? Would you consider what it was on my mind that I don't even know how to put into words? And then hearken unto the voice of my cry. You know, sometimes your meditations, your ruminations are a cry to the Lord. My King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, do you say good morning? Good morning, Lord. Or do you say, good Lord, it's morning? In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Oh, what a blessing. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8. Prayer, it exposes the heart and invites the Lord's transforming work to be done that you cannot do, but only the Holy Spirit of God can do. Romans 8, and if we will look to verses 26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession. God, would you help him? Would you change him? With groanings which cannot be uttered. That's those meditations, those ruminations. And sometimes it's like, God, I don't even know what's troubling me. But God, would you make intercession for me? Would you show me? Would you expose to me what needs to be changed? Look, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you want that happening in your life? Boy, I do. God, would you? God, I don't even know. Something doesn't feel right. Something just is off. God, would you search my heart? Would you lead me in the way everlasting? Prayer exposes the heart, and if you're not interacting with that, then you're not praying as God designed prayer to operate. Prayer also aligns your will with God. And if you will look at James chapter 4, James chapter 4, and as you're going there, I'm going to read 1 John 5:14 and 15. And John said this, and this is, God says this, this is the confidence that we have in him. Confidence. I'm confident about this. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Have you ever heard people say, God doesn't hear my prayer? Have you ever said that? I feel like nobody's listening. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. Can you say that about your prayer life? Everything I ask for, the Lord gives me. If you can't, look at James 4. From whence come fightings and wars among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Lusts, we use the word desires. God, would you give me a better job? God, would you give me a Mercedes? You know. God, I'm not happy and I need a Mercedes. You lust, you desire to have. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You can't get it. So you fight in war and you try to do it in your own strength and you have not. Why? Why do you have not in verse 2? The end of verse 2. You have not because you ask not. So it goes like this. Brother Alan, give me a Mercedes. I can't be happy unless you give me a Mercedes. Give me a Mercedes. And he's like, no. And so then we do this. Look at verse 3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. And so it goes like this. God, Brother Alan won't give me a Mercedes. And I can't be happy unless I have a Mercedes. And you're not enough. I don't get any joy out of my relationship with you. I have to have a Mercedes. And God, you're bigger than Brother Alan. Would you force him to give me a Mercedes so I can be happy? And God's like, no. If you're going to cheat on me, I'm not going to deliver your idol in a wheelbarrow with a bow tie and a Christmas present. You're going to have to do that all by yourself. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? And so prayer is designed to align our will with God's will. So we can have the petitions. Look, He will grant you, He will give you the desire of your heart. When your desire lines up with His desire, then the prayer is answered. Lord, I believe that if I had a Mercedes, they're economical, they're safe, I can get a really old one and it'll still last a long time, and it has a really good suspension so I can put a lot of Bibles in it. And God, I believe that I could serve you better with this. If it is your will, would you grant it? If not, would you change how I'm thinking about this? Would you change how I'm praying about this? If this is not a desire that you put in my heart, if it's not of you, would you change it? And can I tell you what a blessing you will have in your life when your desires aligns with God's desires? What a blessing and what a change in your prayer life will occur. Prayer builds dependence on God. Come boldly before the throne of grace, Hebrews 4 and verse 16, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Ask and you shall receive and it will be given to you. Seek and knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone that asketh receiveth. And God, I have a friend, and he's come, and I have no bread. God, would you give me bread for my friend so I can be a blessing? You know, one of the greatest things I learned from Pastor Hoots, he was teaching on wisdom, and he said, Some of you guys are asking God for wisdom so you can do the job better. And he said, you're not going to get it that way. You have to ask like Solomon, Lord, I'm a little child, and I don't know how to help your people, which are so great. God, would you give it to me for them? And boy, that will change your life. God, would you give me what I need so I can help them and minister to them as you would? Prayer fuels love for God and love for others. Look at Philippians chapter 1. While you're going there, I'll read this. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory as have I seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. And thy lips, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied. My mouth shall praise thee. I'll remember you on my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And so what does it do? It fuels your love for God. Okay, look at Philippians 1 and verse 3. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. And always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, both insomuch as both in my bonds and the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Christ Jesus. Look at verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. Do you see how prayer fueled his love for the Philippians? God, would you help him? God, I love him and I care about him. And God, he needs your help. Would you look upon us? Would you remember Zion? Would you, God, would you help them? Remember what Moses said, Lord, don't let your wrath wax hot against them. Lord, remember what you said to Abraham, and don't let the Egyptians say that he brought them out in the wilderness to die. God, would you remember? Would you remember what you said? Lord, would you look on us? Would you forgive us? Would you have mercy? Bless your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you, persecute you. Why don't you start praying for people you don't like? Praying for people that grieve you. Praying for your enemies. Why did God say that? Because that changes your heart towards them. And you start having the same heart towards them that God does. And then, what is the primary thing of prayer? It's fellowship with God. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and if many men open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. You know what Jesus said? When you pray, do this. Say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. God, you are so good. You are so holy. You are so wonderful. And you know the real reason that people have a problem with prayer? It's they lack a relationship with God. The real reason people find it difficult to pray is God is not their friend. God is not viewed in their emotions, in their spirit, as their father. God is not the lifter up of their head. God is not their shield and their protector and their shepherd. God's a judge. Yeah, you did that wrong. God's a critic. You know, I don't have any problem talking to Brother Phil or Isaiah or my wife. Thank God. And you know why I don't have a problem talking to them? Or the rest of you, by the way, all of you, I don't have a problem, okay? All right? Especially Benny, I have a problem with him, no. All right? Okay? The reason I don't have a problem and I don't find it difficult to talk to him is there's nothing between me and him. We're friends. People, when they say they don't know how to pray, this is what I hear. I don't know how to talk. Prayer is a conversation. It's speaking to God out of your heart. Our Father who art in heaven. And I'm just telling you, there is nothing more blessed than that. There is nothing more blessed than, Lord, I don't know. Would you teach me? Lord, I'm troubled. Would you comfort me? Lord, would you guide me? Would you show me what to do? Lord, would you? And I'm just telling you, there is nothing better. There's nothing better. And the reason people have a problem praying is they're not close to the Lord. That's the only reason. It's not routine. It's relationship. And when it's relationship-based, it's continual. Oh, Lord, did you see that? Lord, did you see that? Ooh, God, would you help me with that? Lord, I don't know what to say. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after the Lord. The Lord is not in all of his thoughts. And just this, God, in prayer threatens their self-sufficiency. You know? True prayer admits weakness and dependence, and that's hard for the flesh to accept. They say, like the Laodiceans, I'm rich and I don't need anything. I don't need God to help me. I'll figure it out. It's spiritual warfare. You know, the end of that thing about spiritual warfare, your armor of God, he said, pray in always. And you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to disrupt communication with your commander so he can attack and so he can get in and so he can mess things up. The flesh and the devil oppose it. It breaks fellowship. You know? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin. You know? Yeah. I feel like nobody's up there. Nobody's talking. Feels distant. I just feel like all of those things are because you don't have a real relationship with God. Or it's not deep enough. And when that's straightened out, the rest will be straightened out as well. I think that's it. So, are you asking the Lord, Jesus, to teach you to pray? Or are you just trying harder to do it? God, would you teach me? I don't ever take from this, oh, it's just so bad. I got to try harder. No, Lord, I want to work things out. God, I don't even know why this isn't working. And I know it's not you. God, would you teach me? Would you show me? Would the Holy Spirit help me? You're not going to change this through human effort. Listen, the Christian life is not. It's lived through submission. Submission. You know? You'll never meet a person on this earth, at least I haven't, that's doing well spiritually, emotionally, that hates his father and has a problem with his father. And his dad can be a monster, and he can recognize that. But if that anger and that bitterness and resentment is there, he will never, ever do good in life. Ever. Don't have a problem with your father. Don't have a problem with your father. Father, just fall before him. Submit to him. He's so glorious. He's so wonderful. He's such a good father. Read that Psalm 139. Like, it says he's put his hand upon me. It says his thoughts towards me are more than the sand of the sea. He knows every thought I've ever thunk, and it hasn't been too many. And it says you understand me. You've compassed me about. Everywhere I've been, you've been there. And David said, this is just too wonderful for me. It's too wonderful. I don't even know how to describe it. You form my members in continuance. When you were in the womb and in the belly, it said you formed them in continuance. But like he never stopped. He was actively involved in your creation. I'm just telling you. To think that God is cruel, and to think that he's mean, like he wants a relationship with you. So much so that he said, I can't have a relationship with them because they're dirty and covered with sin, so I will die for it. Remember on the cross what the Lord said? He said, listen, Jesus was very close to his Father. Was he not? Was there any other greater example of love between Jesus and God the Father? You know what he said on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The only thing that put distance between God the Father and God the Son was my sin. And God poured out all of his anger and all of his wrath on that sin so he can say to you, come on. And you say, but I sinned. I paid for it. Come. Come to me. I paid for it. It's okay. I know you couldn't pay for it. I paid for it. I paid for yesterday's sin, today's sin, and tomorrow's sin. Come unto me. And the love of the Lord is so deep and so wonderful. And you're going to experience it that through prayer. I remember the first time in my life that I felt the Spirit of God. And I was 14 years old and I just got saved. And we were in a little church in Tennessee. We had men's prayer that meeting. And we take the prayer request, and in that room with those other men, I said, Lord, it's me. I'm your son. And God, we're going to come to you and talk to you about things, but thank you for saving me. And I just felt the Spirit of the Lord come in. And I just started weeping. And it was so precious. And I've felt it again and again and again, and never so much as through prayer. The second time I felt it, we were there and we were singing, and there was this old hippie lady that had a guitar and a braid that went down to here, and she just got saved. And we were singing, What Can Wash Away My Sin? And just those hymns. And we were sitting underneath the church. It was stilts, and the wind was blowing through that summer because there was no air conditioning. And the Spirit of the Lord just blew in, and everybody there just started praising the Lord and weeping. And the preacher said, well, we've already met with God, and He's already done a work. Look, in His presence is fullness of joy. And I hope you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, why don't you ask the Lord for it? God, I want to know what He's talking about. I want to know you. I want to know your thoughts. And you learn about them through the Bible, but it's just so good. That's all I can tell you. I have nothing else to say. It's just good. It's just good. All right, can we have the piano player come forward? And why don't we just open the altar and if you want to talk to the Lord, say, God, help me. I want to know you. I want to be your friend. Let's just pray. let's stand. And some, can you come and let's sing Sweet Hour of Prayer? Yes, come lead us. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Is that what you were playing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.